And this was one of the things that the president set as a priority when he came into office. What do you think, what have you seen over the last 4 years?
Well, you know, I think the question is has the process changed? And I think the process is essentially the same, the standard forms, investigation, and then adjudication. But what really has changed over the last 4 years is that the government has really made some great progress in getting the end-to-end processing time for security clearances greatly reduced. I think in the past 2 years, the process has become increasingly more efficient, mostly by moving from paper to electronic files, and increased use of modern technology.
It's an interesting observation you make, too, Evan, because I think a lot of times when agencies want to tackle a problem, there is a tendency to say, we're going to have to revamp everything and reform it and redo it. Everything's got to be different. And what it sounds like you're saying is, we've been finding efficiencies, we've been applying technology, but people are still doing basically the same thing that they did at the beginning of the administration. However, it's paying off because the result is better than it was by far, it sounds like.
Yeah, and you know, the security clearance process, I think, is kind of the poster child for how something that's been going on for a while can be improved through technology. You know, years and years ago, everything was done via paper. There was fingerprints were done on cards. They were mailed to the next place they have to go to. You know, all of the investigation was done extremely manually. There was a lot of paperwork involved. Standard forms were all paper. Now, you know, there's been an increased reliance on technology, and it's taken some time. But I think the efforts have surely paid off.
The reliance on technology sometimes can be a bad thing, because if your technology fails you, then you're kind of stuck and you are either back to relying on the paper process or you're just out of business altogether. Have we seen any stumbles like that along the way, or have we developed a technology system that's pretty reliable and has demonstrated to itself to be pretty robust?
The system seems to be pretty reliable. Have not heard about anything necessarily going down. You know, the security clearance process takes time. It's not something that you need an immediate type of response to. And the number of records that we're looking at is not astronomical. You know, we're looking at, you know, in the millions of records. But that's a number that's still fairly low. There are a couple of examples of how technology has kind of made the process more efficient, especially if you look at the last 4 years. And in 2010, about 99% of investigation requests that were sent to the OPM were done electronically, and this was done via a relatively new system they put in place called the Case Adjudication Tracking System. And the system, it kind of lets a security clearance adjudicator receive a completed investigation file from OPM electronically. And again, in the past, this was a very manual process. Investigative files were sent via regular mail from the OPM to Department of Defense Central Adjudication Facility. So electronic transfer is a really good example of increased efficiency.
You used a term there that's completely accurate and I think is worthy of paying attention to in this particular conversation, Evan. You said security clearances take time. That's a good thing. A lot of the conversation about this historically has been, how can we reduce the backlog? How can we speed the process up? Well, I'm not sure as a taxpayer I necessarily want the process to be really fast, because I'd rather that somebody be investigated really well before they get a security clearance.
Well, I think you can rest pretty safely there, because the investigation part of the process is still manual. It's still done by a human, especially for the high-level clearances. You know, there's definitely an investigator that is involved, and that process, that part of the process, is not nearly as streamlined as other parts. So, you know, again, that could play into the fears of someone saying, well, I want someone to be fully checked out and vetted. So investigators that are looking at a case and someone who's been put in to get a clearance, you know, they still use pad and paper to take notes on cases they're working on. They spend a lot of time talking to their subjects and transcribing handwritten notes into a computer for submission. You know, that's one of the places where efficiencies have not yet been made, but you know, while it's a little bit cumbersome for the investigator, some of us on the outside might see it as being a good step to have someone that intimately involved. Now, there is, on the adjudication side, some things that are done electronically now that, you know, are looking at essentially lower-level secret clearances, and on a pretty clear case are able to electronically adjudicate a clearance and say, okay, this person is good to go without human intervention at that point.
Evan Lesser is president of ClearanceJobs.com. We've talked a little bit about the technology, Evan, that's involved here. I went on your blog, ClearanceJobsBlog.com, and we'll link to that at FederalNewsRadio.com/in-depth. I saw some comments there that go in a direction that I always like to go, and that's the cultural part of any conversation about how things work in government. Some folks saying that the IT isn't the issue, that the issue is standards and guidelines, or in some cases, a lack thereof. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, if you take a look at the adjudicative guidelines on security clearances, you know, it's a pretty small and thin document. And for someone that is in process to receive a clearance, you know, that can actually be a good thing. There's a reason that there's a Defense Office of Hearings and Appeals there. You know, every case is not completely cut and dry, and that can be a good thing for someone that is in line to receive a clearance. A lot of people kind of assume that if they've had psychological counseling, or if they've had some financial trouble, or if they've gone through a divorce, or might have had some foreign travel, that that's going to automatically exclude them from receiving a clearance, but it really doesn't. And I think the government has been pretty open-minded in terms of you know, individuals, and trying to look at each one as a whole person and determine, you know, whether that person should receive a clearance or not. I think a good example are psychological concerns. You know, 20 years ago, if you said that you were seeing a therapist and were on antidepressants, that might have been a scary thing for someone who would be trying to obtain a clearance. Now it's so commonplace that the government has taken that into account, and it's really not something that is red flagged at this point.
Is that a change of standards because of just enlightenment, awareness of these kinds of things?
It really is. And to give you a second example, use or misuse of technology is something that the government pays much closer attention to now than, let's say, 5 or 10 years ago. 10 years ago, someone who somehow managed to, you know, pirate software or music or movies or misuse a computer at work was not something that happened too often. Now, with technology and the internet being what it is, it's far more common and far more likely for there might, you know, possibly something in someone's background. The availability to do something illegal online is far more commonplace now than it was in the past. So it's another example of how the government has taken a look at current times and changed the guidelines a bit to focus on what's current.
So give me some bullet point takeaways for our conversation about what you see in the security clearance process over the life of the Obama administration so far, Evan. Not from a political perspective, just purely operational and execution.
Purely operational. You know, I think that a lot has been done over the past 4 years, and I don't think it's necessarily due to one particular person being in office or not. A lot of these programs have been underway for a while. In addition to the electronic records being submitted, which was one of the biggest deficiencies, I also mentioned the e-adjudication system. This is the electronic system that can make a favorable judgment on an applicant's secret clearance automatically without human review. And by the end of this year, that process will be in a lot more extensive use. In 2009 is when they changed paper, card, fingerprint records to electronic records. In the past, it was a pretty cumbersome process. Fingerprints were done on cards, mailed with documents to the OPM, and then scanned as electronic files. Now it can be done literally within minutes. So that type of thing has cut down the process dramatically. Another example of something that started a while ago in a past presidency but is closed during this one is the base realignment and closure. The last round of base realignments completed just this past fall. So part of that last BRAC round was moving all DOD central clearance adjudication facilities from around the country to Fort Meade. So while no hard numbers have been released, there were a lot of supposed efficiencies gained by having those facilities centralized rather than spread out all around the country. So all in all, a lot of improvements have been made over the past 4 years. Clearance processing time is down dramatically. Backlog is down dramatically. There's still a lot of things that need to be done, but overall, it's been a very positive 4 years for this process.